This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop, and we don't come in peace. We come to terrorize your earballs once again, and this week we're going to remake I Come in Peace, but for the rest of the world, it's actually known as Dark Angel from 1990, and joining me today are the Stepanenkos.
Yeah, that'd be me.
And me.
That's right. Sam and Val, the Stepanenkos. We need like a theme music for the Stepanenkos.
I know,
oh,
right?
So cool. We need theme music.
Yeah, definitely.
When you guys are together on the show, we need theme music for you guys.
Definitely.
The Stepanenkos. Yeah, Trish is in Ireland right now, and we did try. She's actually in a castle, an old castle right now. We did try to Skype her in for this episode, but the ghosts are having none of it. So we're going to get some pre-recorded stuff from her that I will dump into the episode. I don't know when, but you'll hear it at some point during the episode.
When it's appropriate.
When it's appropriate, it's going to even be a surprise to me. Because even I don't know what we're putting in there yet. So she's going to drop us a message and we'll hear what she's doing in Ireland. And hopefully we will get her Skyping in next week when she's not hanging in a medieval castle. Hopefully. Yeah. Although she did get to go fencing with sword training with Adrian Paul the Highlander.
No way, really?
Really. So we'll hear about that a little bit too.
I'm impressed.
I hope she tells us that.
I'm jealous.
I know, because you like Adrian Paul and you like swords.
He's really cute. But if you go back to...
So do you want to polish his sword? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Hello, invaders. This is just Trish Coughlin. Sorry I couldn't be with you where I come in peace. But instead, I decided to stay here in Ireland at Kennedy Castle. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Get a chance to stay at a castle. Stay at this castle. See, there's ghosts here, but if they are, they are wonderful and give you the best night's sleep you will probably ever have in your whole life. So wonderful. Out here in Ireland, we had... yesterday was the sword experience with Adrian Paul at Trim Castle. If you get a chance to do this, I recommend it. So much fun. He's very patient, even though I know that I will probably die in a sword battle, but that's okay. It's a workout. It's a huge workout. It's a lot of fun, though. You kind of learn what you need to do. You just have to pay attention. Pay close attention to what he says. You do get worked out. I mean, the warm-up itself was a great idea. At one point, when he makes us do the squat, he's like, "Do you think I'm being mean?" I'm like, "No, no. Cruel. Cruel is the word I'm looking for, Adrian. That's the word." But yeah, hashtag sword experience XP. If you see it anywhere in one of your towns, I recommend you go. It is completely worth it. It's so much fun. So I'm so sorry I couldn't be there for the movie I Come in Peace. I have watched it. The second half of this voice recording, I will give you my casting and my ideas. I'm pretty sure the guys have come up with something really, really, really amazing. I don't know. If you want to have it set in an Irish castle, that would also be awesome. I'm just really stuck on that right now. But Ireland is beautiful. I am drinking for all of us. And I miss you guys. I miss my invaders. I miss everybody. Okay, goodbye.
Out of that series, though, like, I liked Adrian Paul, but when Mythos started making an appearance, then it was about Mythos and less about...
Yeah, he was like, Cloud. What, season 4 or 5 he came in?
Gorgeous as hell? Yeah, absolutely.
I always wondered why they didn't do a spin-off series of him rather than the Raven chick.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
He was way cuter.
Yeah. He also didn't sleep with President Clinton.
Hold on.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, allegedly. I had no idea.
Now you do. Look it up.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, yes, this is known under its original title in the rest of the world as Dark Angel. Here in North America, the rest of us know it as I Come in Peace, 1990, directed by Craig R. Baxley, who had such mediocre 90s hits as Stone Cold and Action Jackson.
I like Stone Cold.
I like both those movies.
Yeah, Action Jackson's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, he made the typical early 90s action fare.
Yeah. Now, kind of like last week, we have a writer in here that's that came in and did the rewrite of the original script. The original script was by Jonathan Tidor. Don't have much to say about him, but a man known as Leonard Moss Jr., which was a pen name for David Coop, who has an amazing resume of scripts he's written. Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, the 2005, which we will cover in the future. Mission Impossible, the original one that pissed me off so much that they made Phelps a bad guy. The first Spider-Man movie, and then things start to go a little downhill. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh my god.
And the new Mummy movie that nobody saw just a few weeks ago.
Nobody saw it?
It didn't.
Oh, I'm sure more than two, but, you know. it was not the best of launches for a brand new universe of movies.
Or for a Tom Cruise movie, for that
matter. But we've already talked about why we didn't think this was going to succeed, I think, on previous episodes. Yeah. I knew that was going to bomb, and I don't think it has anything to do with Tom Cruise. If you're going to do a dark universe with these characters, they should have made it a Victorian... Why make it look like superhero movies? Like, set it in that Victorian era that really lends itself to that gothicness of those characters, and would really support that.
Did they modernize it?
Yes, very much so.
It's a shame.
Yep.
And I don't know that the Mummy was the best one to start with either. It's not, I mean, it's an iconic character, but I think if you're going to reboot a universe, you need to start with one of your big bads.
Well, I understand why they went with that one, because it was the one that made the most money most recently.
Yeah.
You know, coming off a really good trilogy. And I think part of it is it's trying to take itself too seriously, where there was a lot of fun involved in that last one. Yeah. And a lot of viewers just want to see more of that. I don't think that's necessarily the right approach, because I don't want to just see some actor doing what Brendan Fraser did. I'd rather see something new and original. And it sounds like they just kind of farted out a
mediocre
script and whatever. At some point, you know, we already saw how tough of a start it was for the DC extended universe. So with these monster movies too, they're having a rough start too. And not everything needs a universe.
Nope. Although,
you know, the Universal Monsters were probably the first big universe ever depicted on screen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. I think part of it too is I mean, Marvel was fortunate that they got somebody who was really committed to the universe itself to oversee it with Joss Whedon. Whereas if you don't have that person, that's going to make a difference as to how successful you are or aren't.
Well, and now they're bringing Joss over to the DC side of the fence, so maybe he can bring a little touch of that with him, you know, his billion-dollar Avengers movies.
Yes.
So.
Joss Whedon was involved in this Mummy movie as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just in basically kicking off the whole Marvel universe, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's nice to see DC finally got a win with Wonder Woman, because everybody, those movies still make money despite being mostly bad. And finally having a good one, I'm like, hey, see what happens when you make a good one? You make even more money.
Yeah.
So, hopefully they'll sit back and just take their time with it. And that giant monster one with, like, the Toho characters, Godzilla and King Kong, those guys have really stepped it up. I think they're on the right track with two already successful films, and they're not forcing it.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody wants the Hasbro universe, so whatever.
No, that seems to have... Well, Transformers are still making money.
Yep.
But we're not talking about them.
Nope. So, well, we got sidetracked by David Coop, but yes. Yeah. And this movie had a modest budget in 1990 of only $7 million.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was so successful, it only made $4.3 million.
Well, let's change that today.
But I think it's probably made some money as a cult status thing. It's certainly a cult film, I think, at this point.
It certainly has. If you read the Wikipedia on this movie, it's like it did really poorly in the theaters, but it has great reviews for a movie of its genre.
Yeah, upon a revisit, and this, I used to own this on VHS, and upon a revisit, why? I had fond memories of this movie, and I probably should have left them there.
Well, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. It's like sometimes it's tough because you go back and watch these movies that you have fond memories of, and they're completely destroyed.
Yeah, right? It is so 90s.
It is so 90s, but there's lots good in it. I think it's just dated.
Yeah, I certainly love the idea of aliens visiting us for... Basically, they're no better than us. They're drug traffickers.
Yeah.
And that was probably the hook I'm still mostly in love with this movie for. And there's a couple of things, like the spinning CD disc.
Yes.
and the little injecting zipline thing from his wrists. That was really cool, too.
Yeah, like especially for the time. It had some pretty cool stuff in it.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, it's the stuff that would still work now.
Yeah. And I guess Alienation might have done it first with the whole urban crime noir with aliens thing.
I think, yeah. I mean, certainly there's certain parallels that we can be drawn, yeah.
Yeah.
But this one's a little bit different because they've come to Earth to basically harvest human endorphins, whereas in the Alienation, they come to Earth, right? There's a completely different dynamic there.
Yeah, no, they are refugees, and it was certainly an allegory for that.
It was a great concept.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this movie starred Dolph Lundgren as Detective Jack Kane. I don't really have to go through his resume. It's a lot of B action movies, and we all love him for it. There's a lot of them.
Actually, I was
Expendables looking, most recently.
Most recently, I was stunned to see that he was in a movie called Fat Slags with Anthony Stewart Head.
That sounds awesome and weird.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yes, that's something that's good on my list of weird shit to watch.
Brian Benben is Special Agent Arwood Larry Smith. For a guy who is only called Smith through most of the movies, he has a lot of names. And most people will remember him from, like, he's had a hell of a television career and continues to do so. Dream On, Private Practice, and Imposters. So he's doing very well for himself on television right now.
And Val mentioned, he's the best actor in the movie.
He was
the reason that I enjoyed watching that movie.
There's so much bad in this movie, but he is not among them.
He's kind of the shining star.
He sometimes struggles with some of the script, but yeah, it wasn't him per se. He does the best with what he's got for sure. Betsy Brantley, who plays Diane Pallone, who's kind of a CSI that Dolph Lundgren's character, Detective Kane, is on and off relationship with.
Very strange relationship between the two of them. And I mean, she was kind of, she felt tacked in, to be honest.
Yeah, remember he went home and he's like, he goes home and he's by himself and he looks at the photo of the two of them together. It was almost like they had to, you know, they had to plant that extra 10 minutes in to create some kind of like
the
romantic.
Obligatory 90s.
Obligatory romance.
Yeah, we with Walking Tall, which was 2004 that we talked about last week, where they just had to tack in a love interest.
Yeah.
It doesn't forward anything in this film at all.
You're absolutely correct. There's a couple things in this film that kind of fell by the wayside. You're like, well, what happened to that? And
yeah, I mean, if they have a struggling relationship, you know, other than giving me a little line that he didn't talk to her for
eight days
or something.
Well, I mean, her only purpose there was, I think, to reinforce that his commitments to his promises. I mean, that was a really big thing in this movie, is if he makes a promise, he keeps it.
But he wasn't making any promises to her.
He wasn't making any promises to her, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think that was her only purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Matthias Hughes, which was the bad alien, whose name was also Talek.
Which you never hear in the movie.
You never hear in the movie, but it's in the credits, apparently. Talek the Alien, he was Matthias Hughes. He was also in Star Trek VI as a Klingon. And Jay Bilas is the good alien, also known as Azek. Also not anywhere in the film.
Yep. They gave them names just for the credits.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And I probably should give a shout-out to Jim Haney, who was Captain Malone. He was in Pretty in Pink and Sleepwalkers. So, another 80s guy. And then there was David Aykroyd as Inspector Switzer. I'd say the Malone and Switzer, Jim Haney and David Aykroyd, they were shooting for the stars with their performances.
Yeah.
I guess they weren't the only ones, but that dude, Sherman Howard, from Day of the Dead. He was Bub playing Victor Manning. He was also reaching for the stars.
Yes.
He was going great guns. Everybody, yeah. For aliens coming to Earth, he was trying to go to their planet.
You know, a lot of these actors are they're experienced actors who knew they were in a bad film and they just went, you know what, I'm just going to camp it up. I'm going to have a great time. And then we have the great Michael J. Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
Love seeing him on film. He plays the same damn guy every time you see him.
Boner. He's only in there for maybe 2 minute scene, and he's just awesome.
He owns the screen whenever he's on it. He's one of those guys you just want to hug.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's one of those people. He's like, oh, you're just so cute. I want to hug you.
I like to see him now. Like his IMDb picture, he's looking older and thinner, but he's still there. He's still out there, and I'd like to see what he's been up to.
Yeah, me too. Every time I see him, I get a chance to see him on screen, I'm excited. I just, because, like I said, he always plays the same guy, but it's fun to watch him.
Yeah, it's a fun character. Yeah. I guess it was a 90s thing that just went away, but a weird hook. But yeah. I remember him from Tango and Cash.
He was in Bonnie and Clyde.
Was he in Bonnie and Clyde?
He was in Bonnie and Clyde.
No kidding.
I think that might have been like one of his very first films, but he's in
Was he that character?
I don't recall. It's been a long time since I saw Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay, might have to revisit it at some point.
Yeah,
all right. I think that's pretty much the cast here. Betsy Brantley, by the way, I wanted to mention she was in Princess Bride and Deep Impact. So Princess Bride being awesome.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, another classic.
What is she playing in Princess Bride?
I wish I would have wrote it down. I just wrote Princess Bride. Oh. I'll leave it up to everybody else to figure it out. I think she was... she wouldn't have been the princess, would she?
No, that was Robin Wright.
Yeah. Was there a different princess?
Not as far as I know. There weren't that many... ex-princess? Yeah, there weren't that many female characters in
Maybe.
The movie.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look at it. Yeah. I don't remember, because, it was Robin Wright. I have no idea. But she's in there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
All right, well, you know what? Let's run the trailer, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about I Come in Peace, and remake this sucker along the way. I've certainly got some ideas, and I'm sure the Stepanenkos. Also have some ideas.
I'm not singing.
Fabulous.
I'll rap. No, I won't.
No, please don't.
I won't rap.
Trailer chat.
Houston, Texas. It's Christmas. Someone special is coming to town. And it's not Santa Claus. Jack Kane, a cop who does things his own way.
What are you doing? Shortcut.
He's sensitive, understanding, and kind to strangers.
Merry Christmas.
But all that's about to end.
I'm coming,
peace. Three well-armed men have their throats cut before they can even draw their weapons. Who could possibly move that fast?
Aliens.
Say what? Are you crazy? It's true!
You need a psychiatrist, Jack.
Your psycho stole a lot of heroin to kill people with.
What are you gonna do? Tell him we're fighting drug dealers from outer space, huh? The human body carries a small electrical charge, right? You tune the disc to the charge, and then...
What the hell is going on here? As far as you're concerned, this case is closed. It's not our problem anymore.
I've had a bad day.
All right, I come in peace. That is so 90s.
It is so 90s.
He's a cop that plays by his own rules. Fuck me. But it's true, because that was 90s. That was the 90s
trope. That trope. Totally 90s trope.
Every action movies were big at the time, and it was all about the rogue cops who did it by their own rules.
That was what made Tango and Cash such a great movie, because you had the which was juxtaposition,
a little bit of,
right?
Yeah, it was more of a spoof on that. But yeah, but you know, you had the Lethal Weapons at the time, and Die Hard, and
Beverly Hills Cop,
absolutely.
Sorry, one of my favorites. I love that movie.
Yeah, it was all about cops who would probably be all in jail right now when they're investigated by IA.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't have, certainly wouldn't have badges anymore.
No, they definitely would not be working.
But yeah, back in the 90s, that was what we wanted to see, apparently.
So this movie, as we said, is about an alien who comes down to get endorphins. And by doing that, he overthrows some drug dealers, making a deal for a boatload of heroin that they just heisted from a police lockup.
Yep. Which is a great setup, actually.
Actually, that was a pretty good setup.
That opening scene really kind of, I wish that opening scene had kind of kept that same momentum. Because after you watch that opening scene, you think, oh, I'm in
really
a really good
down.
Movie. But then it just kind of slows down a little bit. But yeah, that opening scene is great.
There's a lot of character talking in this movie without a lot of character development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way I can put it, right? Which was very common in these 90s action films, is that we weren't supposed to care about character. We were supposed to see a lot of action, but we got these brief moments of it in this movie, and then it went flat for a while.
Yeah, well, even your star, Duff Lundgren, doesn't say a lot, which is probably a good thing, because he wasn't great on the delivery anyway.
Think about it, though.
I think it was pretty early in his career. Yeah. He had his Punisher hair, though.
Think about that whole movie. And I spent the whole movie watching and waiting. It was like nobody said anything. It seemed like there was a lot of movie, but
except
very
Brian
little
Ben
dialogue.
Who wouldn't stop talking, but...
yes, right. But very little dialogue.
He was
kind of
irritating
dialogue.
At times.
Yeah, it felt like there was more movie than dialogue, and they tried to, you know, convey everything with the look of the way they turn their head, or their eyes, or their eyebrows, but, you know, it's just...
Oddly enough, I thought one of the better actors was Matthias Hughes, who is the bad alien. They couldn't find a stuntman for him, so he was doing all of his own stunts because he's like 6'5", and they just couldn't find anybody that big. And he's on lifters. You could see it in his boots.
Yeah, he looked massive in this movie.
Like, when he's doing something bad and gives that smile, I'm like, damn, that guy's got a really cool smile. with the weird contacts that they had in there and those dead eyes, and then he gives a smile. I'm like, damn, that's really, he's selling that pretty good.
He definitely had a certain amount of presence where most of his performance was facial.
Yeah.
Right. And actually I watched for him after this movie. Like I was so impressed by his performance in this movie when it first came out, that he was the one that sort of stuck in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because he had very little dialogue. He had basically two lines.
I come in bees.
And then he says, I win once.
Yeah. Right? And I don't know why he didn't talk more, because when the other alien's dying, he has a lot to say. And he's okay, which is not bad for a guy who's a basketball player. But he's never has these repeating lines. I mean, I get the idea behind it. He's coming to Earth, and if he's going to encounter somebody, he's just going to try to lull them into a false sense of security before he drugs them up and takes their endorphins. And which is why he was stealing the heroin, by the way. He was injecting it into his victims, giving them a nice big euphoric buzz, which he can siphon off into those happy endorphins, which go for a lot of money, apparently, in space.
Yes.
I think, though, if he had too much dialogue, it would have been different. I think the fact that he doesn't say anything, he just kind of makes those
makes
eyes
him scarier
and stuff,
more intimidating.
Makes him more intimidating.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind a setup there as to why.
Yeah.
You know, the only words he learns are before he leaves, and maybe he picks some stuff up while he's there. But
yeah, no, because I think it's suggested that he learns just enough of English to say, I come in peace, and then I win, apparently.
And, you know, and this is something I would change. I'm like, I would, if they're going to be in human form, I'd like to see what their natural form looks like. And it feels like them talking in English, it is actually hard. Learning a different language is hard enough, but learning it when your own vocal cords aren't shaped that way, built that way to speak that same way, which is why it's probably in a whisper and gravelly.
That would make a lot more sense. Yeah. So that goes back to sort of development of the characters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which was non-existent in this movie. This
yeah, time. I want a little more sci-fi in my sci-fi action movie.
Yeah, and there's this one scene, and I mean, it doesn't tie into what you're saying, but it does kind of, is when you go to Kane's apartment, he's like sort of this cultured man, but there's no explanation for it. It's kind of throwaway. It's like, oh, I wasn't expecting this, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like, do you want some wine? Right, I mean, they're supposed to show that he's a man of layers. Like it kind of missed the mark for me. I saw what they're trying to do, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of things where you could see what they're trying to do, but you had to infer a lot of stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to like use your imagination while you were watching the movie.
Yeah, I felt like I was painting a whole new movie in my head while exactly. I was watching this movie, filling in the gaps and making it more interesting. You had to fill in the gaps,
yeah. Make speculations. Talk to the people you're watching the movie with and go, what do you think? Is that how? Did I miss something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're watching it and we're like, what the hell is the alien actually doing here? What's his, what is he doing?
What's mm-hmm. his purpose?
You don't actually get an explanation until like the last 15 minutes of the movie pretty mm-hmm. much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go back to Detective Kane, Jack. He's on a stakeout during this heroin heist, this exchange with Victor Manning. And his partner's in there making the deal. And so he's listening from the car. And there's a holdup at a convenience store right next door. And he's like, oh, no. And then he goes to deal with it. He's like, okay, stall. In my mind, I'm like, you have a radio. Radio a cop. It's a holdup. You got your partner killed. And the worst punishment he got, you're going on vacation. You're being pulled off the case.
Oh, yeah.
That's it?
Take a couple weeks vacation.
On the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And really, if you're on a bust like that, why is there only one guy backing you up?
Exactly. And was he recording it? Like, was he just listening to it and waiting for a cue from his partner? Or was he recording the conversation?
Well,
was
you're,
he recording the bus
when
going
you
down?
Know you're in a big bus like that, there's more than one guy listening. And there's a whole bunch of people ready to raid the place.
Exactly.
That's real life.
That is. And it, I mean, in most movies, that's the case too.
Yeah. Right?
They love their big operations in the movie.
So for a big city, there's like three detectives and one of them's now dead.
Yeah. It's.
But it feels like they were kind of... Like going, like they, him and his partner were undercover and kind of going off book and kind of doing this on their, not on their own time,
that's
but
true.
You know, kind of away from.
The captain does mention that he didn't even know what was going on in this operation.
Yeah.
And if he'd followed procedure, he'd probably still have a very living partner.
Yeah.
Instead of going off book and not communicating with home base. But I mean, I get the feeling they might be doing some not so legal shit to get in there in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, and it was clearly a device to sort of get him set up with his new partner and establish this sort of this vengeance pattern for.
Yeah, and he's Ben's character is an agent of the FBI.
Yeah,
yeah,
but it didn't work. That'd be one of the first things to have to change.
Yeah, it's a very very by the book partner and who's kind of. Watching everything Jack does and
his
reports.
His fucking notebook was so much fun.
His notebook was so much fun.
I kind of felt, though, like that he was a bit of a... I thought he was going to turn out to be a bit of a turncoat, right? Because he was so insistent on getting that CD.
But he was. He did do that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. He's
so the moment they were there with the scientist and he was insisting on the CD, I need to have that compact disc. I need to have that CD. I'm thinking... There's something sketchy about him.
Yeah. But there wasn't anything sketchy about him. He was doing the right thing or the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right? And that was because he was doing things by the book. That was the only way he knew how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Until he meets Kane. And then, of course, that goes against everything he knows. And that's where your source of conflict is.
Yeah. And, of course, by the end, Smith's character gets sold down the river and they're going to liquidate him for what he knows.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, he obviously turns and joins the other side and joins up with Jack. Now, this might piss everybody off, but I would totally eliminate Smith's character.
The best character in the movie, you want to eliminate him?
No, the best actor in the movie, not necessarily the best character.
For my remake, yes, I would. This is what I would do. I would, for Dolph Lundgren's character, he would no longer be a police detective. He'd be DEA. And,
which makes more sense.
Yeah, his on and off girlfriend's FBI. Now you can have some of that conflict while you're having this joint operation between FBI and DEA. And so that brings in, gives a little bit more of that love interest to do. And she starts taking on some of the roles of Agent Smith.
So you're basically combining two characters.
Exactly. And giving the love interest more to do.
Yeah, good point.
Giving it more depth.
Yeah, he's basically dating Dana Scully.
No, I think it's totally feasible.
Despite the fact I do have a cast for Agent Smith.
Just in case.
Just in case. But that's what I would do. I would just eliminate him anyway. There's a lot of nonsense dialogue in there. And you can combine and add into what was a throwaway plot and give it a more gravitas. That's my two cents on that anyway.
I'm kind of leaning towards it now that you've sort of brought it up. I'm like, I can see that working.
I'd keep him. I think because, you know, he's kind of like got this little sense of geek, and there's an opportunity to add a small bit of comedic relief in there. And I'd keep him. I'd keep him.
Or if you do keep him,
just for color,
downplay his role a little bit, but, and still do what Jay's done, so he could be her partner, right?
Yeah.
There's that too.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, downplay his role, just comic relief character that, and still does the turncoat thing, and you can still have the girlfriend struggling with her devotion to her job as well.
And her feelings for Kane,
yeah. And for Kane, yeah. And that's causing tension within this case as well. Basically, who gets the collar as well at the end of the day? Because, you know, one's a drug bust on Victor Manning, but now there's an alien involved.
Well, alien and murder, right?
So, yeah, alien and murderer. So,
I like the interjurisdictional conflict.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so city cop versus DA, I think DA is a far better way to go.
Yeah.
Right? And then you could take your movie kind of nationwide too.
Yeah, right? You can open it up a little bit
too. Yeah, where it's like less about the locale, where the locales could get a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you're going to steal drugs, why would you do it on a street level? Why wouldn't you go straight to the source at like some big factory or something? So you could take it to South America or whatever. So bring in some bigger drug lord thing and have this alien just blow the fuck out of these big drug cartel to get his stash.
Well, and that would address one of the issues that Val mentioned when she was watching the movie. I'll let you tell me what your issue is.
Well, yeah, I mean, as the movie was coming to an end, I was waiting for them to address the drug cartel.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of went by the wayside.
Oh, it's a throwaway.
It started with the drug cartel, yeah. Right? Absconding the heroin. What happened to them? They had that board, the big boardroom scene, and then that was it.
Yeah, the big boardroom scene, that's pretty much it.
And their henchmen kept going around and fucking things up.
Yeah, the henchmen they did put a hit out on Jack, but you only get the one attempt, and because they think he's the one who stole the heroin. And that's fine. At the end of the day, it's a bit throwaway. You don't see enough of them that's driving it forward.
And there's no resolution, are there?
None.
Right? No.
Aside from the throwaway line at the end, it's like we have to think about we go to Rio, which is where the cartel head is. But
yeah.
You really need that resolution. You need the bad guys to suffer. You need the bad guys to die. You need them to go down.
Well, in my movie,
put them on ice.
Well, in my movie, most of them die right at the beginning.
Yeah,
and it really isn't about them.
No, it really isn't.
And that changes the nature of the investigation because he's still on this case. Well, shit, they just blew up my guys and that I was going to bust. But who took it?
Yeah,
and who has all these drugs now?
Yeah, and it gives it a different kind of motivation instead of the dead partner.
Yeah.
It's actually doing his job.
You could still have a little sub-revenge plot or something if you want, if they're aware. But I wouldn't even have, you know, the dead partner and stuff. Just open up with everybody getting blowed up.
Well, they had to have the dead partner in order to replace him with the geeky partner.
I guess, yeah.
Right?
But you really need to address the dark cartel. Even if you're going to get rid of them in the first 20 minutes, half hour of the movie, do it. But give some closure to that end of the story because you had two stories and this one went nowhere and then this one...
Mm-hmm. Well, in the end, DEA investigates more in teams rather than just two guys, so... Yeah, but you could still have an inside guy that dies in that initial attack.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea or a whole team. Maybe they were just about to raid when...
Sure.
The alien takes out everybody, right? And he's the only left on his team, and which is why the FBI gets involved. It's like, how did you survive?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, also, why would you only have one alien? Like, if you're going to do this go on this big haul of guiding these rare endorphins, why would you be
yourself? That's an easy answer. Is because he's greedy. He doesn't want to share.
Okay, greedy, doesn't want to share, and let's face it, he probably thinks we're easy prey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And you know what? Throughout the movie, they are. Everybody, sure. Right? I mean, until he meets Kane.
He's pretty much bulletproof, so yeah. They need to get the good alien's weapon before they can actually injure this dude.
Yeah.
And his magic CD.
His magic. You have to admit, though, anything surrounding the alien, the concept of it, like with the CD and, you know, how they take it to that geeky little scientist and stuff, I found it cool.
I liked some of that. I maybe make it look a little more than just an old Metallica disc or whatever. I'd rather it look a little more alien. But other than that, I mean, I love that concept of this kind of magnetically controlled weapon. That's really super cool.
So. Especially considering they talk about how they can tune it to the frequency of the human body, and so that it doesn't stop until it.
Yeah, I mean, this thing just goes and goes and goes and goes against physics, and. Add some humor as well as Jeopardy. I mean, when it's going, it's a scary weapon. And when they find it hiding and still spinning in that speaker, that's really cool. And you get some moments of, Jesus, it's bouncing around and almost takes their heads off. And they're fun and thrilling at the same time.
Yeah.
It's cool. And I like how he carries the speaker and he takes it home and sets it down on the counter because...
Did you notice when he carried the speaker, it was like spinning disc towards his ribs?
Yes, I did notice that.
I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You are the shittiest and dumbest cop ever. Like, you should be in the hospital.
By the blade. Yes.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Not the smartest thing. And I mean, the director, really, is like, how do you not... notice something that blatant.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just carry it under your shoulder and...
Yep.
Yeah, it's not like I needed those ribs anyway. Yep.
That's what
didn't like this jacket anyhow.
No. Fuck it. Yeah, where was... Continuity, where the fuck were you? Well, you had one job. One.
It's not even continuity, it's fucking common sense.
Yeah.
But there's a continuity guy for that reason.
But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it somewhat.
It was still fun to watch. It really does epitomize everything that was bad about the 80s action genre.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it epitomizes everything that was good about it, too. But it really shows sort of how little these writers and studios cared about our intelligence.
Yeah, they didn't want to give you a story. They wanted to give you action. That was it. They wanted to give you action, good-looking actors, good-looking actresses. No story. No story.
Yep, but that's what we're here for.
Yep.
We're going to make it better.
We're going to try anyhow.
Because it's not that hard.
No, anything, like any ideas you have are still going to be better. Like anything.
We got a lot of room in here.
And it's a fairly short movie too, so you've got
room. It's only 90 minutes.
Yeah, so you can stretch it out another 15, 30 minutes and not make it overly long too.
Exactly.
I think I'd maybe do an initial pre-opening credit roll of the aliens in their natural habitat and needing to go at this score, and then of course the space cop that comes after them.
Yeah.
Just to kind of set that all up. I guess you don't need it, but I'd like to see it. I want a little, like I said, I want a little more sci-fi in my sci-fi action.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, no, that would work, right?
We visual effects are getting a lot cheaper to do and looking really cool now. That's another thing, too. Like, when I was thinking about this, I'm like, I don't know if I want to cast somebody in particular for the alien roles because I kind of want them to look more alien and cover that up when they come here with... more of some sort of survival mask gear. Maybe I'm stealing a little bit from Predator. I'm not going to say they're turning themselves invisible. It's just covering up so they look kind of humanoid. So if somebody saw them on the street, they'd be like, oh, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I did cast them, but I think it could still work in that because I would want them to look more alien, but I really, really love them. Just the immensity of these aliens because they are clearly a larger race than humans.
Yeah, well, actually, you still cast, like I said, I don't have a cast for them, but you can still cast a human and use the visual effects to have them move unnaturally.
Yeah.
Because for these big guys, it would pretty much appear out of nowhere and then leave again. And during the chase sequence, they look kind of lumbering, but like I said, they would come up silently a lot of the times on the victim. And I would like to see what's going on there with maybe they move a lot more inhuman. They'll appear human to whoever they are or standing in front of, but
there's something unnatural about the way they move.
Maybe
too,
they crawl up the wall and their knees bend backwards or something before they land and look human again, you know. And that would be really creepy visual as something when you, as a human, we know how we naturally move, and to see that unnatural movement it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that could work really well. I'm actually thinking of a specific scene in the original movie that where that would work really well is a scene where he's running away from Kane and jumps out of the building and lands on the street there.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some of that really cool unnatural movement where he sort of like almost morphs into something and lands on all fours or something like that. That would look really cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would add to the terror of the crowd below as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is something flying out of this building and glass and shit's everywhere, but this thing that's clearly not human has landed in the midst of them, too.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when the two aliens are going at it and chasing each other, you know, the good alien going after the bad alien, man, that could be make for some really cool stuff.
That could make for a really cool hand-to-hand, well, quote-unquote hand-to-hand combat scene as well,
mm-hmm.
where they are aliens and moving in different, like these sort of unnatural movements.
So they revert from their human form into the alien form to battle each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and they, while still maintaining somewhat of a human look. Like, imagine if your hand split midway through and then your whole arm split down to the elbow and then you had another set of appendages in midstream. So, you know, maybe you got a knife in one hand and a gun in the other and it's still all your left arm. And that all happens in the heat of battle. That would be so fucking cool.
That'd be cool.
That would be very, very cool.
I'm visualizing as I'm saying it.
You said it right. I want more science fiction in my science fiction action.
Yeah. It really just feels like another crime drug story with some cool guns.
Right. And things that are supposed to be aliens.
Yeah. The only thing that makes them aliens is their size and their laser pistols and
some
CD gun
and whiteout contacts.
Yeah, whiteout contacts.
You know, I want to try and like branch away and offer some like opposition, but no, you guys have really great ideas.
Yeah, it's not our first rodeo.
I'm liking it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
we've done this a couple of times.
Yeah, maybe once or twice. Maybe once or twice.
I think this is episode 98.
Yep, episode 98.
Damn, we're good.
We're getting so close, eh?
We're getting very close.
Yeah.
Get excited. Get excited, everybody. We're coming up on episode 100.
Yep. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell the dog.
Are you going to do a vampire movie?
Not before 100, no.
Dang.
But yeah, we will. Eventually.
I'm excited to find out. I don't think Sam's even told me what 100. Do you even know? Like, have you chosen?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we know.
We know.
We know what they are.
Yeah.
Everything's a secret.
Well,
I don't think
we're not
going to.
We'll tell you. We'll tell you after we finish recording. I want to be a surprise for everybody else.
It's sweet. Looking forward to it.
Back to the remake, or back to
Absolutely.
Rat?
Absolutely.
Back to Rat.
Back to Rat.
I think everybody's in on that joke now.
And if you're not, so, you should be yet.
Yeah. That's us. Okay. Well, I think maybe we've got the aliens at least somewhat sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep keeping the sort of idea of the original, but really expanding on it, really,
mm-hmm.
right? Making them even more alien, right? Because we can now.
Yeah. Right? I was also toying with this idea of like, well, if you, this basically bottled endorphins, bottled super concentrated ecstasy, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that has value, does fear have value? Like, can you bottle fear, and what would the value be on that as a tactical weapon?
You're opening up a large can of worms,
right?
But it's a great
can of
worms.
Maybe it could lead
to, if he's drugging some people to get the endorphins as a drug, but doesn't drug some other ones just to get bottled fear.
So what is he going to go around collecting these, like, all different kinds of human drugs,
like adrenaline and endorphins?
Why
put them all in different cases?
Yeah, although this movie does state in 1990, we don't know how to do that yet. I don't know. I think maybe we do. Considering all the things we can do.
If they can measure the weight of a soul leaving the body at the time of death, then yeah, I'm pretty sure they could bottle fear.
Yeah. I don't know. We've come a long way since 1990. So.
Yeah, we have. So
but kids, don't try this at home.
No.
Thank you.
But I like where you're going there, and I think Val was saying, it's just that, I mean, that maybe you're setting yourself up for a series of films rather than...
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. I would like... Or you could set that up where you're like, well, what are these vials?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These don't look like these ones.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean...
And he could have got most of that when he was getting the heroin in the first place. All these drug cartel guys.
Yep. I mean, capitalizing on... It's a crime of opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, what, or maybe it's just one of the things. He's like, well, I'm going to take some just to find out what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can have one more line for him then. Scream for me.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That is good. But yeah, you know what? Maybe he harvests some of the, at the when he's killing off the drug cartel, and he tries it out himself, and he's like, oh, I like this. Right. Right. Like, you'd have sort of this whole experimentation thing is, what does it do? What does fear do? Right? And he's discovering another narcotic he can sell on the alien market.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what if he keeps one of them alive and just tests on them? That could be your Victor Manning or whoever we decide to name him.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
Oh, we're getting, as usual, we're going into dark places.
Just a reminder to our listeners, we don't talk about this beforehand, so we are coming up on most of this on the fly. We always come into the show with our own ideas, and then we bounce them off each other and see what sticks. That's what we do.
And we always tend to go to these dark places.
Well, not always,
but frequently, yeah. We instead of getting lighter, we go darker.
When you have comedic moments, they should play off the darkness, right? And that's why horror comedies and comedy and horror work so well, because it counterbalances the darkness and gives you a reprieve from it. So when you have those comedic moments, they really land.
Yeah.
And this movie isn't that dark, and I don't find the comedic moments land very well.
No, it's true. And at the same time, the comedy also makes those dark moments land harder, too.
Yeah.
Right? They play off each other really nicely. But yeah, no, I like that idea. Then again, it addresses that issue Val was talking about with the lack of closure on the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them more to do, too.
Yeah. So now we've come full circle with that, and... Damn.
And there's a certain amount of irony there where this drug pin is actually being used to manufacture drugs.
Right.
Liking that.
Yeah. No, that's a movie I'd watch over again. We were talking about Agent Smith, whether to keep him or not keep him. What were your guys' thoughts on that character?
I mean, I was originally planning on keeping him and playing it pretty much the same way. But after hearing your thoughts, I'm thinking, well, I'd still keep him, but I'd pull back on his role and have him sort of...
Maybe make it Diane's partner?
Yeah, make him her partner and
the Mulder?
Yeah. Make him the sort of her foil when she talks to him about her issues with the way...
He's the one that keeps her on point and is also the one that reports everything back to the FBI.
Yeah, and he can still play that role of the guy who does the wrong thing for the right reason.
And thinks he's a hotshot.
Yeah, right.
He thinks he's awesome for being that way.
And it wouldn't actually complicate anything, I don't think. Like, your idea to change everything, I don't think it would really complicate everything.
What if he's also one of these guys who's got his heart is set on Diane as well? There's nothing between them, but it's this comedic antagonistic thing. Okay, now you're
creating that, like a love triangle or a romance triangle.
Makes him a little more goofy, right? So then you're bringing
in a little bit of this means war into the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think now you're overthinking it. Now you're overcomplicating it. I mean, I love having the idea of the romantic, like the touching on the romantic between the two of them. But
I'm not saying you have to do a
romantic triangle.
I'm not saying there has to be enough, but it's enough to motivate him to be a little more antagonistic with Jack because he's jealous.
Why can't he just be antagonistic because he's
a dick?
An ass.
Bit of a dick, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He just has to be a bit of an ass.
Yeah, I mean...
But, I mean, I do see your concept. I think it is a good idea, Could work.
I like the idea of him just being a dick because he is a bit of a dick and he's a bit of he's more of a by-the-book guy.
Okay, right? We'll keep it that way. That's enough.
Yeah. But it's a good idea. I do like the way your mind works.
I was thinking of some of the comedic moments of Jack just slapping him down a couple of times because of it.
Yeah, yeah. I like I said, I could see the humor, the potential for humor there, but I think that
I want something to motivate that's one, that's two, that's three moments that is in the original.
Or the how many do I get?
Yeah, by how many do I get? And in the end, three wasn't even that bad. He got pushed next to a car, against the car, big fucking whoop. Yeah. That's three. Ooh, you're scary, so scary cop. Yeah. Scary, scary cop.
Yeah, and I mean, you could definitely still include that kind of tension, or those throwaway one-liners. But I think just the fact that he's
maybe just rude. That's yeah. one.
But he is rude. Like his character is kind of rude, and but it was funny because I would think a guy in that position, like, you know, having to, he's FBI and he has to team up with like a city cop and be his quote unquote partner. I would think he'd be more like, I mean, he was an ass, but I would think he'd be more of an asshole too.
Cause it's kind of like a demotion almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he seemed to be very tolerable and just fell into that role as his yeah, fill-in partner. And yeah. It's just like, you're FBI. He's a city cop. You should be like treating him like.
Yeah. There should have been a line going, no, no, no. I'm not your partner. You're mine.
Exactly. Yeah, it should have been. There should have been a little bit more tension between the two of them.
I'm FBI. You're beat cop.
But he just seemed to kind of fall in like. And, you know, I kept saying to Sam, is he like a rookie FBI or something? Like, is he afraid to step over the line with Jack Kane? I don't get it. Because he just kind of seemed to follow, right?
You kind of get the idea that is probably the case.
Give in and follow, yeah.
Maybe not necessarily a rookie, but he's not a very experienced agent either yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's got a good point, is you would expect him to be more sort of territorial. It's like, no, this is an FBI investigation now.
Yeah. Right. And you'd have that more if it was DEA versus FBI.
Like have, you know, that Smith flick him in the head or something once in a while just to piss him off and kind of see like maybe some kind of skirmish or something like skirmish between the two of them once in a while, or, you know, just like create that real tension. There's nothing. It's just kind of like he fell in and now he was his lackey.
Yeah.
Like he was acting like his lackey.
There should be jurisdictional tension. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It didn't even occur to me. Good catch, honey.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Hey, I do
right
watch
about that.
These movies.
I know. And you pay attention.
But I can't talk to you. Like, we're watching the same movie, and we're doing this and everything, so I'm not allowed to say anything.
How many of the movies for the show do you watch with him?
I would probably say half.
Yeah?
At least half of them.
Do you usually roll your eyes going, oh, my God.
Yes.
How are you going to do this one?
Yes, and sometimes I'll watch, like, the first 15, 20 minutes, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I'm out of here. You know
what was the last one that you did that on,
that I rolled my eyeballs and walked away? I can't remember, honestly. I can't remember.
Sam, do you remember?
Actually, I think it was Krull.
It was pretty recent.
Krull.
I rolled and walked away on Krull. Are you sure? I would stay for Krull.
No, maybe it wasn't Krull.
Crazies.
I watched Walking Tall.
It was the
Muppety Broadway.
The Meet the Feebles.
The Feebles,
Meet the Feebles. That was it. I was like, okay, I've had enough of this crap. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I get it.
that was. But this one, you know, like I enjoy. I probably would have watched it with him, even if I wasn't going to be here today.
Okay,
just out of curiosity.
Well, we always like to have that female point of view.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry Trish isn't here, folks. But I'm really happy that I invited myself to come and join you guys today.
Well, somewhere in there, you got to work in the word misogynistic and...
Oh, no. I think, you know, it's not... You guys don't treat it like a boys' club.
No.
But it's much more fun to hear the two of you talk about... do these remakes and come up with the characters and stuff, because you feed off of each other, and it's fun just to sit here and watch the two of you get all excited about, oh my God, and we can do this. Oh my God, and we can do this. So, you know, it's always a treat to sit in. Always a treat.
And it does. It really does happen where we do.
Oh yeah,
excited.
Every single time.
Because we can see it in our heads. Like we're actually visualizing how cool this would look in our heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may not be for every listener out there, but this is what our version of it, and we're always open to hear what yours are. But
exactly.
That's our take, and it's our opinion, and, you know, we know some of you just like these, some of these movies just the way it is. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with you much.
I think a lot of listeners, though, like, when they listen, they kind of go, yeah, hey, that's, you know, and then watch the movie, and in their minds...
Yeah.
They can apply some of what you've said to it and go, yeah, you know what? Yeah. That probably would have worked. And, you know, yeah, now I'm noticing
and
that.
And this is in our minds, too, in a perfect world, what these would look like. And let's face it, it's Hollywood. It's definitely not a perfect world.
No. And you know what the biggest problem with Hollywood is you have too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You guys, you got the money men who have their ideas. And, of course, they're the ones that are always right because they're the one paying for it. And they're not always right.
No, very frequently they're about as far from right as they can get because they're not filmmakers, they're money men.
Yeah. But not, I mean, not all the time. That's, I mean, sometimes the money men are the filmmakers.
Yes.
But you never know where a good idea is going to come from at the end of the day, and so maybe it is sometimes from that guy. But
yeah.
The dude who told Guillermo del Toro on Hellboy, well, can't be a normal human, and when he gets mad he turns red, that's the Hulk. Yeah, that's a real story. That's a real story.
And that's not Hellboy, right?
That's not Hellboy.
That's right.
So, you know, that guy, shut the hell up. You're no longer allowed to speak about movies ever again. At least not to geniuses like Guillermo del Toro.
Exactly.
Who was it that...
I don't know which guy. It probably was during the initial pitches for the film.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
When they were probably shopping it to studios at the time.
He should just go back to fetching coffee.
Yeah, well, apparently he's got $1 billion, so he has somebody else to do it for him.
Then he should just sit back, relax, enjoy his $1 billion, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. Let the creators create. And we have no money whatsoever, but we do have an unlimited budget in our brains.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's get into some casting now. I think we've got our basic structure, and I think the basic structure for this film works. We've added to a few places, and visually this is going to look quite a bit different under some great action director or sci-fi director's visual eye. So we've got our own choices for directors. We got our own choices for cast and our own thoughts about casting. And I know Sam's got the most robust ones, so I'm going to let you take the tail to support the rest of us.
How do you know his is more robust? You haven't heard my list yet.
It's Sam.
Okay.
We'll get Val Step and Ankle to lead us out, and I'll take the center, and Sam will be anchor.
Sam's cool. I want to hear it. Go.
Yeah, I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, but you said him originally, and then, you know.
I know. I was leading in and saying he's going to go last. I'd like to tease our listeners just a little bit.
You want him to go last?
He's going last. You're going first.
I'm going first?
Yeah. Unless you're not ready. Did you do your homework?
I did my homework. I did. I get nervous when I'm on the hot seat.
Oh, but it's not the hot seat. It's the Trish seat.
Yeah, but I'm not as great at this as Trish.
I don't know. You were great 2016, if anybody hasn't heard that episode, by the way.
That was a fun episode.
Don't blame 2016.
That was a fun episode. Let's just remind people that I don't really have the knowledge and the depth, the expansive depth of knowledge that the rest of you do when it comes to doing this. And for me, it really is a fantasy because I have some of my favorite actresses and actresses that I'd like to put in there. And so that's
why we call it fantasy casting.
Fantasy casting. So here we go.
Hey, if anybody's got a theme song in mind for the fantasy casting segment, send it to me.
Nice.
We'll use it. Just saying. Maybe that needs a little jingle too.
So for Jack Kane, I went with Matt Passmore.
Okay. You're going to have to fill me in on that one.
Matt Passmore plays the lead in a TV show, The Glades.
Okay.
So he's an Australian actor. And the reason I chose him is he actually kind of looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Okay.
But he's cute. He's kind of, you know, he has a goofy side, but he's action. Sam, you're familiar with Matt Passmore.
Yeah. We saw him playing the bad guy in something recently. And I mentioned that's the guy from The Glades. So yeah, no, I
haven't. Yeah, so he's versatile. Yeah. He hasn't really, it's not like he has this huge stellar Hollywood career, but he did do The Glades and it was an enjoyable TV show and he's funny. He's got a little bit of humor in him. He's got a lot of action in him. He's cute. I think he'll do.
Cool.
Definitely.
I dig it. Okay.
You want to hear all my cast members?
Oh yeah, no, let's do them all.
Fabulous. Let's go. I'm sticking with Larry Smith.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I cast him too, even though I just wrote him out somewhat. We actually brought him back in, so he's still here. He's the second FBI.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Smaller but key role.
Yes, smaller but key role.
I'm going to go with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Very good. Very good choice.
Yeah, because he kind of looks like him. He's kind of got that little bit of geek in him. He can do that little bit of comedy. He can do the action, so...
Yeah, and as we said, Brian Benben was easily the best actor in this film, so you still have the best actor in that role.
You just want somebody with a little versatility when it comes to acting. So, and he's cute.
He can do comedy and he can do action.
Yeah.
He's very versatile.
I was up in the air between him and James McAvoy.
Oh, another really good choice.
Yeah, but yeah, I think I'll go with Joseph Gordon.
Very good. Very good.
The alien Talek. This was my favorite, actually. He was my favorite casting. I'm going to go with Till Schweiger. Are you familiar with Till Schweiger?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Well, I'm sure Sam was wondering why I made him watch Inglourious Basterds yesterday. Oh. German actor.
Right.
Good looking, bigger dude. So I did a little reading. I did a little reading on him. He's a German actor, but he's quoted as saying, "I just rent my face out to Hollywood in order to make money to complete the project in life that I really want to do, which is open up a refugee center in Germany." Him and some people went in and bought this. It was used as something else, but now they want to make it into a refugee center for people that are coming into Germany. They're going to get more refugees in. So he's not like if you've seen him in Inglourious Basterds. He's mean, big, scary-looking dude, but doesn't have a lot of dialogue. So this alien doesn't have a lot of dialogue. How so I figure maybe...
How dare he earn money in Hollywood and use it nobly?
There's something wrong with that.
What's
wrong with this guy?
He's actually come under a lot of fire because of it. Because he was trying to urge people from the United States to donate money to this cause. He's also a producer... He's also a producer and a director, and he has his own film company called Barefoot Productions.
Cool.
So he's like a Renaissance man.
All right, we'll give him a part, a few hundred thousand, back into the kitty.
Excellent.
I'm sure he'll make more than that.
Yeah. He was also in This Means War.
He can be a producer as well, and he can get double paychecks to go to build
producer, director, sure. Yeah, why not, right?
Why not?
Make more money to go back into his
sure
philanthropic
give these pursuits. Refugees a place to live.
The cop alien, I went with Grace Jones. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with a big, freaking, diverse female in that role instead of a male.
That's
really interesting.
Really interesting. Yeah. I like it.
She is scary looking.
What's she looked like these days?
Scary looking.
I haven't seen her since the 90s.
She's looking a little more feminine nowadays, but yeah, definitely Grace Jones. You know, I was going to go with Bridget Nielsen because, do you remember? Everybody knows doll sex. And I thought... That would be a cool nod, but I want to go with diversity. So
sure,
I went with Grace Jones, big scary female, awesome by the way, love her. Inspector Switzer, I went with Gary Oldman. It's kind of one of those you could actually put anybody in that role.
I was thinking either Switzer or Malone. I would make Dolph Lundgren because we always like to throw one of the key actors
back into
a smaller role. So, but
cameo-y.
Yeah.
And then for Diane, I picked Kat Dennings because I still want to go with that cute female, but with the comedic edge. I don't know why. I always feel like when I watch these big action flicks or, you know, action sci-fi flicks, I always need to see that backhanded or unexpected comedic edge to something.
Well, and I think that's still going to be in the Agent Smith character. I went with more of a badass because, I mean, they're going to be point and counterpoint to each other Agent, or I guess he will be Agent Kane now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and
Agent Jack Kane.
So that's, those are my picks.
That is awesome.
What do you think?
I like it.
Comments?
I like your cast. Grace Jones was an inspired choice. I'm not seeing it in my head because I'm still seeing 80s, 90s Jones in my head. So I don't know exactly what she's going to look like now. But that version of Grace Jones is inspired. So in my brain, that's pretty cool.
Well, who doesn't remember her from Mad Max? I mean, she was scary. Was it Mad Max?
She was in Mad Max.
She was in James Bond.
James Bond. Yeah.
Did you get a director in?
Till Schweiger was...
Oh, also going to direct.
He's going to do double duty. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, when he's not saying, I come in peace. He's saying, God.
What?
They keep acting, God.
What? Or action.
Just stop.
When do we start?
Nobody moves yet.
Nothing moves.
Well, yeah. I told, you know, like...
I said action.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not like, you know, if I... I'll always pick McGee as a director because I don't know any other directors.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Why? It's science fiction. I think he's got a handle on it.
Science he produces fiction, some great stuff, but but his direction is very, very
spotty.
Specific. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
I need to school myself in directors.
Well, for my director, I went with Rian Johnson. He directed Looper, Brick, and a little movie called Star Wars The Last Jedi that's coming out this year.
Sounds like he could do the job okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I like to give these new kids a chance. See what he can do. Fucking well, I mean, and that's why I went with him because, okay, Brick is a really great neo-noir story.
So good.
So good. And then we get to Looper. It had these real high concept but very grounded science fiction
Speaking
ideas.
Speaking of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who was in both those films.
Exactly.
Inspired.
So he could just hire him on again, and he's my director, and we can use some of your cast. Everybody's happy.
Cool.
I actually really like Gordon-Levitt in that part, although I feel like a guy at his stature at this point is going to need a little bit bigger role now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I didn't cast very much because when I went into this, I didn't want to come up with more big guys that I haven't used yet, to be honest. And I was thinking more visual effects at that point. So a combining of both ideas with who you guys have your casts for Aliens plus those visual effects I was considering, I think would really work really well. So I'm going to skip the Aliens and leave that up to you guys. For my Detective Jack Kane, who is now DE Agent Jack Kane, Jason Statham.
Okay.
When I was watching this whole time, I'm like, this feels like a Statham movie. And this would be so much better if it was a Statham movie.
Jason Statham, he was hilarious in that, what was that movie called? Spy? Yeah,
Spy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so good.
I'm going to go home and watch it just because of his role in there was hilarious.
You know, it's funny because you don't think of him as a comedic actor, but he proved that he can do comedy
so well. Absolutely.
Yeah. He was very good in that. For my Agent Smith, when I was still considering him as comic relief, and he still will be, I went with Paul Rudd.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's got a similar look. He can do that cockiness. And now he's looking a little more in shape because of Ant-Man, so we can have him doing a little more physical stuff as well.
I like Paul Rudd.
I don't think anybody who doesn't like Paul Rudd. He's like one of those guys that you just want to like go for beers with.
Yeah, I don't dislike Paul Rudd. I dislike some of his movies, but I don't dislike Paul Rudd. Yeah, so I thought this one might be a nice change of pace for him. And for my Diane, because I wanted to have her more active in the film as an investigator, so she would also be involved in the gunfights and all this stuff that's going on, and also investigating some of the bodies as well as what's happening. She still has that kind of FBI, but a lot like Scully was, where she'd also be looking at bodies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And which is what she does anyway in the film, but now we have just a bigger role for her where she can be out in the investigation as well as working with the bodies, including the alien bodies that might pop up. And I have Rona Mitra.
Nice.
Yeah, who is tried a few action roles, and I don't think the films have gone off that great, but I think she's great in those parts. And just one of those female action stars that I think just needed a little extra push to get into that Kate Beckinsale,
Emily Blunt kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's well-rounded and can do it all.
Yeah, yeah. And well, we've seen her do quite a bit. She was in the third Underworld movie, the one that didn't have Beckinsale in it. The flashback one.
I'll Google her.
Yeah, you can Google her. Yeah, that was pretty much my cast. I wasn't really thinking beyond that. You know, those minor parts like Switzer and stuff, I wasn't really thinking too much about. So, but, you know, I was also thinking that Lundgren could be one of those parts. So just to have him doing something within the movie. We like to do that.
Yeah, and I certainly, with Lundgren, I didn't really cast him because I figured
You could even have him as an alien drug lord that sends the other guy down.
See, I like that idea because I wanted him in actually as one of the aliens, but I didn't want him as one of my main aliens.
He's so big,
yeah. That's what I really loved about this movie was the fact that the aliens actually looked bigger than him, but and Lundgren looked big compared to everybody else he interacted with. So there was that sort of transition from at regular to Dolph to alien, and I really like that. And so when I cast my Kane, I cast somebody who is around the same height as Dolph Lundgren, believe it or not.
Okay.
I went with Carl Urban.
Oh, nice.
Because I wanted somebody who looks kind of copish, and now DEA-ish, right? Because he can pull off that look.
Yeah.
Kind of still kind of rebellious, because the DEA guys always seem to have their own rules anyhow.
Did you ever see that sci-fi cop show where his partner was like the robot? And they were kind of at odds. It was like a one season show, but it was fucking brilliant.
No, I haven't, but now I will.
Okay.
And his partner was a cop? Or
it was,
I mean,
it was a robot.
A robot.
I think it was called Almost Human. It was so good, but it just didn't take off. And yeah, it was, I don't know, 12, 13 episodes of awesome.
I'll be looking for that as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Carl Urban, he's cute.
For Agent Smith, I went with somebody who can sort of do the comedy action. I went with Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
I will skip my
alien. He's hot right now, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. For my Diane, and she would work, she'd fit, she'd transition very well over to what we discussed, where she's kind of got a more substantial role. I went with Rosario Dawson.
Okay.
She can do action,
absolutely.
She can do comedy.
Yeah.
She's killing it on those Netflix shows right now. And just, despite not having a lot to do sometimes, she was really wasted in Iron Fist, but she was also some of the best parts of that show.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, is she always elevates things she's in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no matter how
she's got a presence to her that is just undeniable.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go to some of the minor casting that I did do. I did cast Inspector Switzer because I liked that whole betrayal aspect of it. So I went with an actor that I love him every time I see him on the screen. And he's played cops and he's played bad guys, so he gets to play both in this movie. Mm-hmm. I went with William Forsythe.
Nice.
He's getting older, so it's a very good role for him to sort of transition into.
Mm-hmm.
I did cast Victor Manning and his sort of underling Morin, because I wasn't sure if we were going to be keeping them or not, so I'll tell you who my casting was. For Victor Manning, I went with Stephen Bauer. Those who don't know him, he played Al Pacino's partner in the original Scarface.
Okay.
The one who was dating his sister and gets killed by Al Pacino. If you haven't seen it, I just ruined it, sorry.
Spoilers, it's only been 35 years.
And they're remaking it now.
You might want to bleep that out when you edit.
Yeah, no, we don't put out, bleep out spoilers, like I said.
This whole fucking show is a spoiler.
Yes, it is. We specialize in it. And I cast Warren because there's that great boardroom interaction scene there, which is probably one of the best scene with the drug dealers. I cast Steve Buscemi.
I love how it's so business orientated. Yeah. It's just like a boardroom meeting in a proper building.
Yeah.
It's like it's just gangsters in a building. I'm like, this is so weird. I kind of like this.
Yeah, and that's actually why I did it, because I really liked that scene, because it just was so out of place, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I went with Steve Buscemi for that.
Cool. He would accentuate the weirdness.
Yes. What it was all about. Then to my aliens. So for my Talek, because he has so little dialogue, I felt like I cast anybody who's a big guy, who's got a little bit of experience doing speaking kind of roles. I went with a gentleman by the name of Robert Mallet. I think that's how you pronounce
it. Oh, yeah.
Him. Who's also the Kurgan
in
WWE.
Him. I've used him a few times myself.
Yeah, yeah. He's 6'10".
Yeah, he was in the first of the Sherlock Holmes movies by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, he's massive.
Big, big boy.
Yeah. And he's got enough acting to pull off, at the very least, the little bit of dialogue that our bad guy alien has, right?
Yeah, and Massive he's just got good. A really evil look.
Yeah.
Massive is good. I mean, it's okay to pick somebody who's really big, to fill those roles. Mm-hmm. But with camera, clever camera angles, and with Hollywood today, you don't really have to pick the biggest dude.
That is true.
He was actually number one if I was gonna if I was gonna cast those characters with actual actors and not cover up their faces and stuff. Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons I didn't want to do it, because I've used Robert Millay quite a few times now.
This is my first time using him, and I actually forgotten.
You're off the hook.
Yeah.
But for me, I've been like, oh, it's Robert Millay again. Yeah.
And then for my Azik for the cop, and I'm thinking that I'd almost have more than one cop in my remake. I'd have like at least a partnership. I love the juxtaposition of the alien partnership with the human partnership. Could get really interesting. You get some really fun dynamic in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go with Dave Bautista as the Azik guy, mm-hmm. but I like the idea of having Val's Grace Jones character in there as his partner. And then so instead of him, so you have, they can give a lot of backstory on these guys, actually give them names.
Yes. Right? Well, they gave them names. They just didn't use them.
But yeah, actually, yeah, sort of have some actual alien dialogue, right? Yeah. I mean, if it's subtitled, then they need to
get... Oh, yes, absolutely. Aliens, they don't speak English when they're speaking to each other.
And, husband, do you think that a woman cop cannot handle this on her own?
No, I just want to steal part of your idea.
I see.
I like the idea of a partnership. Right, mm-hmm. I mean, she could even be the lead partner.
Are you not getting any tonight? Is that mm-hmm. is this something I'm sensing now?
Yeah, I'm feeling doghouse here.
I would just sleep with one eye open if I were you. I'm just saying.
This is your fault because you got her all started up with misogyny and stuff. I'm blaming you.
Well, it had to come up somewhere. Somebody had to make up for Trish not being here.
Yeah, and there we go. But yeah, no, I like the idea of it being a partnership, and that would fill in some of those gaps about the language and why they have to speak in the whispers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it would sort of tie up all that into a nice neat little bow.
I like that.
So then how come we can't do Grace Jones and Bridget Nielsen?
We could do that too.
Have you seen Bridget Nielsen lately?
She kind of looked like an alien already.
Exactly. That's why I picked these women.
Looks like she's melting.
Yeah. Scary, fantastic. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I'm going off my original casting, and I just decided that I liked your idea and I wanted to incorporate it and meld our two ideas.
Okay.
It was a compliment to you, not a criticism.
Sure. No, we'll go with that.
She's just staring up at the ceiling.
She's down. She's down.
Oh.
Boy, Trish doesn't get nearly as offended. Sometimes she does, I guess. But.
Yeah, but she gets loud and shouty, and Val just gets quiet.
Yeah,
no. For those of you who don't know her, I'm scared.
Oh, silly.
Yeah, and for my director, I know that Jay loves this film, and I really enjoy it too. And he hasn't got a lot of directing credits yet, but he's a great writer and he's a great director. I went with Joe Cornish, the director of Attack the Block.
Nice. I almost did that myself. The whole time I was watching the movie, I'm like, oh, wait, I think I used him not that long ago. Maybe I'll look for somebody else.
Yeah, and that is the biggest part challenge with this is not going back to the same well all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've never used Joe Cornish, but as I was watching this movie, I'm like, yeah, I want Joe Cornish to do this.
Yeah.
Because he does that urban science fiction so well.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't seen Attack the Block should. That one's great.
Attack the Block.
Yeah. And some early work by John Boyega, who's Star Wars.
Who I almost cast. I'm like, nah, I can't do both of them.
I've sometimes done that. Like, if I cast a director, directors are known for using actors over and over again. So when I do that, I feel I can get away with it because it probably would happen.
Yeah.
You said doo-doo.
Thank you for being in a little juvenile to this. Trish wouldn't have missed that either.
No.
You're welcome.
Yeah, she would not have known.
No. And if Trish did her recordings for her little Ireland spot, this is where I'll put it.
Hello, invaders. This is Trish Coughlin, part two of my greeting. I didn't put my casting in the previous greeting, but just an update for the sword experience. Also, wear sunscreen. My breasts are either very angry or very embarrassed, but they're red and they hurt. So, yeah, sunscreen. Always good. Anyway, so for I Come in Peace, very interesting movie. I still don't know what the take is. Jason and Sam came up with them. I'm really looking forward to it. But I've come up with a bit of casting. I kind of went more comedic bent because I just wanted to add like a more comedy. I added for Jack Hayden, Byung-Hun Lee, who was in Red 2. I really like him. I think he's good. Martial arts type of thing. I can believe him as a cop. It'd be good. For Agent Smith, Emily Heller. She's a really funny comic. I think she could really straddle that comedic timing versus just being so straight-laced. It would be awesome. Diane Rosario Dawson, who I haven't seen in a while. Like, I've seen her in a few movies. Every time I see her, I enjoy her. I think she's great, and I think she'd make a great doctor. She's believable, and a great coroner. I think she's just a really good actress, and I totally want to see her in more stuff. And then I just kind of did a little bit of side casting with the Victor Manning goons, and I had the Sklar brothers because I just think it would be fun, like a set of twins as the goons just seems fun and makes sense, and I just had two of them because I just think that's hilarious. And then for that boner, the one informant at the beginning, is a switch on the Deadpool, which I watched on the plane over. I just figured, switch out that with T.G. Miller, make the T.G. Miller character Ryan Reynolds just for fun. Just a really goofy, down on his luck Ryan Reynolds. I think that would be amazing. Anyway, so that is my casting for I Come in Peace. And I do miss everybody over there, although there might be some invaders over here. And maybe I will see them around. But, so it's been a very exciting trip, and, I'll see you invaders later.
Okay, cool. How was that? Awesome, right? I can't believe there's ghosts in Highlanders.
I think
I haven't listened to it, so I don't know.
I was going to wear my I'd Rather Be in Ireland t-shirt today, but...
Is that the death ship thing? That looks very similar to...
Just a skull t-shirt.
All right.
That's cool. Sweat.
She's looking got skulls on. I like skulls.
Yeah, I left my skateboard at home though. I actually got a ride in the car.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Well, if you guys have your thoughts about casting I Come in Peace or Dark Angel, would it? See, when they named this, the original movie, the original version of this movie was named Dark Angel, and they renamed it I Come in Peace, but the director really likes the name Dark Angel, but they did, in North America, they didn't want to do it because of product confusion for 1925 and 1935 movie. What?
Yeah.
Well, one, what? And two, no, I Come in Peace is a much better title. In my mind,
it's much more suiting to the movie.
Yeah.
When he said, you know, when I hear the movie Dark Angel, I was thinking, I don't know if you remember the movies Avenging Angel. I think it was Angel and Avenging Angel, and it was about a girl.
I think I know what you're thinking
the
about.
The teenage girl. So initially, I thought that was.
I thought this Dark was coming Angel. Out around the time they were developing the Dark Angel TV series with Jessica Alba. And I thought that might have been it. But no, apparently it was because of those.
He's 55 and 65 years old.
Nobody gives a shit now. Like, people do that all the time. So I'm not sure what that excuse was. I think they just, somebody in North America thought it was a shitty title and they just used that as an excuse.
Well, that somebody in North America was probably right.
They were probably right.
So what would you do?
I think I Come in Peace is a much better title.
Okay, so when you remake the movie?
I Come in Peace.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's got a great name for a porn parody already.
I didn't go looking, but now I'm going to.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
We haven't done the porn parody spot in ages. I'm glad you brought that back.
Well, it's totally set up, right? Like it's as set up as you can get for a porn parody.
Absolutely. Get on it. Get on it, browser. I was like, do I know any porn companies? Wait, that's a thing, isn't it?
You were just guessing. It's okay.
I think that's a one that the kids know. Brazzer. I have no idea. Vivid. That was the one I was trying to think of.
I don't even know if they're still around anymore.
I don't know either.
I don't know any of them. Well,
we used to work in a video store, and that was the big one that we used to see on.
I remember they were recording. You remember that lady who had, like, octuplets twice?
She had six kids, and then she had eight.
Okay, that was it. And they were recording her for porn.
Octomom.
Yeah, Octomom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last time I remember Vivid.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're still around or not anymore.
Well, if they gave her that kind of money, then no, they're probably not.
Yeah.
I think she actually only came away with $30,000 for that project. And it didn't last very long. Because she got, like, what, 14 kids?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, if you're the actor who has to go act with her, you want to make sure you don't come inside. Because, dear God in heaven.
That is one fertile woman. Yeah,
yeah, right?
Well, she was artificially inseminated.
Oh.
She was artificially inseminated because she had, like... She had all of the...
Was it one of those little I Come in Peace rods that come out of his wrist? And
yes, that's exactly what it was.
Because that liquid Harrodin kind of looked like cum, too.
It did. Not going to lie. What about... Oh, speaking of...
There's something
of,
very phallic about it all.
What about the blood when he was in the backseat of the car and they're like, he's bleeding. And then the camera goes cheese? And it's cottage cheese coming out of his abdomen. I'm like...
I thought he was a marshmallow. I wrote down, and he is a gloopy marshmallow.
Yeah, no, and I as soon as I shot, I'm like, oh, there's really cheap special effect. They threw cottage cheese on his tummy.
Cottage cheese. It did look like cottage cheese. Yeah, it was creepy.
Awful.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was awful.
Like, things we would fix.
Yeah.
Yes, please fix the blood.
And yet, still gross.
Yep.
Yep.
Still gross. Okay, well... If our audience has some ideas about their own casting or just ideas about the film, you can leave that on our Twitter feed at Invasion Remake. Invasion of the Remake, of course, on our Facebook page. Go like that page for us. And invasiontheremake@gmail.com. If you've got some cool ideas, we might read them on the air. So leave us your questions, suggestions, comments. We also take challenges. If we think it's a really cool idea, we might make it a future episode. So get involved and leave us your comments. And even if you just want to chat, it's us that you're talking to on all those feeds. So, you know, we might engage you and talk about some of your favorite flicks as well. So you can do that on all those social media platforms. And you can also help out the show by telling people where to find us, and also giving us a 5-star rating and a short review on iTunes, also now known as Apple Podcasts. I'm trying to get that right, because fucking rebranding. So, on Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star review and a short rating. It helps other people find the show. The more comments we have, the more of an idea of whether they know it's good for them as well. So, please... do that and help other people find the show. Another way you could do that is tell your friends about the show and where to find us. Of course, we are on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Audio Boom. I think we're on Spreaker now, and frickin' YouTube. We are on frickin' YouTube.
On YouTube already?
Yes, we've been on YouTube for quite some time now.
We're everywhere. You guys are everywhere.
Yeah, and some of our YouTube episodes have like ridiculously high views or listens.
And some of them have ridiculously low ones. It's a very bizarre place, YouTube world.
Yes.
So, and some of them are just like, really? The Wraith is your favorite one? Yeah. Really? The Wraith.
Well, you know, different strokes, right? It takes all kinds to make up this world.
Yeah, and their second favorite one was Rawhead Rex.
Yeah. And Ghost Stories really up there. It's like 800 and some.
Ghost Stories doing quite well over there as well. So, yeah, thanks for to our YouTube guys. And please go check out some of those episodes as well. But, you know, the best way to do it, not every episode is over there as well. You want the full library. We are on all those other platforms, the full library, for now anyway.
Yeah.
At some point, we might kick them into some archives. And not anytime soon, so don't worry. The whole library is going to be there for quite some time. So we are approaching 100 episodes here, so spread the word, tell everybody episode 100's coming.
Yeah, and we love that you like us on social media. Liking our posts is great, but it doesn't tell anybody else about us, so please share and like. We love it.
When you're on Twitter and you see us post, hearting is great, but give us a retweet, and same with Facebook. If you see us post there as well, give us thumbs up or one of those emoticon happy face things, and I know it's great. They need a little alien head or something, or a film can. But also, repost it on your own wall so other people can see that you are listening to the episode, and maybe they should check it out as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're at close to 100 episodes. Show these people that you were in on the ground floor, and they have a long way to go to catch up now.
Yes, yes. We just had a gentleman join our Facebook, and he's like, 100 episodes? I'm already 30 hours behind my other podcast. I'm like, well, you're a lot further behind now. Best get listening. You got a long haul.
Well, it sounds like, you know, people even have opportunities to listen to in the car, like on the cell phone.
We're great because
you're everywhere.
We're everywhere, and we run an hour and a half to 2 hours, so we're great for those long commutes or vacation
sitting
trips.
On a Greyhound bus going to, yeah.
Yeah, if you're on your vacation or you're on a, you know, a plane flight somewhere, we are perfect to while away those hours and with a chuckle about some of your favorite movies.
For sure.
Maybe you can listen to us while you're watching one of those movies.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. In fact, tell us where you listen to us. I'd like to know mostly. There might be some situations I don't want to know, but, you know, whatever.
Use your best judgment, please.
Use your best judgment. There are some things I might not want to know.
Now, fuck it. It's a free world. Say what you got to say.
If it's prosecutable, I don't want to know.
Otherwise, go limits. For it.
That's right. Well, that was I Come in Peace from 1990. You've heard our thoughts. What are yours? Go join in the conversation. Until next week, which is episode 99.
And we have a good one for next week already.
And yes, we do. And we will see you guys next week. Hopefully, we'll have Trish Skyping in from somewhere that isn't an ancient castle that has Wi-Fi. And get an update on what she's doing out there, and maybe she'll actually have had a chance to see these movies as well. I don't know. But until then, I've been Jason.
I'm always Sam.
I'm Val. Thanks for having me.
And we're happy to have you, Val. And we are out of here.
Go in pieces, asshole.